Review code provided by the publishers. Stay tuned to the end to find out how you can win a free copy. I'm Jared.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Ray.
Level with us. Hello and welcome to the show where we have a cozy video game discussion just about every week. This week we are joined once again by Ray Hargraves. Ray, thanks for joining us.
Greetings. Always such a pleasure to be on such a warm, cozy video game talk show.
Aw.
Oh, thank you. You make it cozy by being here with us. And Ray, could you introduce what game we're talking about today?
Today we are talking about Penny's Big Breakaway. Never sounded weirder to say out loud than that moment. But yeah, this is from the team that gave us Sonic Mania. Sounds like in their quest to do a Sonic Mania 2 with Sega, things fell through. So they created their own studio, and this is their first original video game that they've created.
Right. And I feel like you can tell that they were the developers of Sonic Mania just by playing this game. Because I feel like there's some Sonic DNA kind of put into this game. But yeah, Penny's Big Breakaway was just shadow dropped a couple weeks ago. This is a 3D platformer. It's a linear 3D platformer where each stage you play as Penny, who is a performer with a yo-yo, a sentient yo-yo, and you are swinging and rolling and dashing your way through these fairly lengthy levels, I would say, to reach the goal. And let's just jump into it.
Well, first of all, Marcus, have you played this before?
I played the first couple levels of this. I had to just get enough of a feel that I could join this discussion. But otherwise, I am mostly just here to ask questions of the experts.
Oh, man. I was really hoping you could give a synopsis of the story, having known nothing about it.
I mean, it's something to do with a yo-yo. I got far enough to see that she... knocked off the king's clothes, I think, with her yo-yo. So,
yes,
that's pretty cool.
I reached the end of the game, but I did not 100% it. What about you, Ray? How far did you get?
I did get the platinum trophy on this one.
Yeah, I figured.
but I did not collect all of the bonus art, which is a whole different thing to do.
Right. Yeah. So each level, there's six collectibles you can get in each level, or I guess three collectibles and three side quests. And then there's also a combo system where if you're performing tricks consecutively without touching the ground, or without walking on the ground, I should say, you have a multiplier that goes up. So at the end of the level, if you have a high enough score, you unlock some art for the game, which I think I only did twice. It's actually quite difficult to do that. And also, I'm not much of a score chaser myself. I kind of just like taking things at my own pace and exploring the level. But I feel like this game is really built for, like, with speedrunners in mind. And that's where I, you know, alluded to Sonic kind of being infused with it. Would you agree with that as a major Sonic fan?
Yeah, I definitely would. It definitely has a lot of the hallmarks of what makes Sonic Sonic that Sonic isn't really doing anymore. I feel like for people who haven't played or seen this, the best way to describe it would be, imagine Mario Odyssey, but instead of Cappy, you have a yo-yo, and you're trying to keep your speed going. And like you said, as you perform tricks and don't touch the ground, you earn more points. So it's a little more of a points-focused, speed-based Mario Odyssey game. but that's very much what Sonic games used to be, was... you had your choice between, do I want to take this as a really slow platformer or do I want to try going quickly? But if I go quickly, I have to kind of work with the rules of physics in this game and learn to do it correctly.
Yeah. What did you think of the physics? I felt like this game has kind of a bit of a learning curve when it comes to knowing how to control the character. It's not like instantly intuitive. Online, I read someone say your first playthrough of the game is the tutorial, which I thought was kind of funny, and I kind of agree with in a way, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I found myself... I tried doing the dual stick method, where you move with the left stick and yo-yo with the right independently, and that just messed with my mind. Like, I got to the end of the game, and I was just struggling so hard. So it wasn't until kind of my second playthrough that I started to... I started to realize, okay, I really need to stop working on instinct and really try to learn the timing and the methods to do what I need to do at the right time, which honestly is kind of how video games used to be. Like when you think about the first time you ever played the original Mega Man series, it was not a particularly easy game. You know, the controls were limited, but there were a lot of nuances on how to jump and how, you know, when to move forward or back, or how much to, you know, fire at one time. It took a lot to kind of get down. And I think I had been playing Spider-Man 2 recently on the PlayStation 5, which is, you know, supposedly one of the greatest, you know, games of the year, you know, the modern generation. And I'm surprised how little of a game there is. I feel like most of the time it's like, now do this. Okay, now obviously you go this way. Now press this button specifically. And like, look at this amazing sequence that just happened. I'm like, yeah, but like, I didn't learn how to do anything. I'm just connecting the dots. But Penny's Big Breakaway is much more of a, look, we have a whole sandbox for you to work with, but you have to learn how to use this character to fully enjoy the complexity of this game.
Yeah, I have a few thoughts on this. One, Jared and I were talking recently about how much I like roguelikes and deck builders, and I think one of the reasons is because if you like play it your way, you're probably gonna suck and not beat it. Like, you have to learn the systems of the game well enough to realize what actually will let you beat the game.
Mm-hmm.
For this, it definitely made me think a lot about 3D platformer traversal, and like, there are certain moves that are just like intuitive because they've been around a while, but they're trying to make, I think, a few original ways of interacting with a 3D platforming world. So like, there isn't a ground pound, at least what I saw, but you know, one of the examples of a move that takes a second to figure out how to actually get to work is to dash, you throw your yo-yo and then you hop after your yo-yo. So if you're near to like a pit or something, but you want to go faster, you might accidentally fling yourself into the pit when what you wanted to do was just move. You can also ride your yo-yo like a skateboard or swing on it. Like, it's in a lot of ways, you can do a lot. It's just you have to know how to do the things that you want to do, because you can like swing on your yo-yo in midair and get a lot further after a jump, but it's hard to remember button sequences sometimes.
Oh yeah, it's skill based. It's 100% skill based. Like, you mentioned Spider-Man, people say the movement in that game feels really good, but it's definitely prioritizing spectacle. They want anyone to pick up the controller and feel cool.
Yes.
As they're swinging around and dashing and stuff. But in this game, boy, it's rough at first. I don't know if that was your experience, Marcus, but picking it up, the first few levels were actually the hardest ones for me. It took a lot of time. And actually, I started with the dual stick as well, but eventually just dashing by tapping the stick twice just wasn't working for me. So I kind of ended up using both, where if I needed to aim the yo-yo, I'd use the stick, and then I'd double tap Y if I wanted to dash instead. But yeah, I mean, if you platinum the game, Ray, obviously you got the hang of it, right?
Yeah, eventually I did, but man, it took me a while. But once I really got a hang of it, I'm like, this is really something quite delightful. Like, this is wonderful. But it's also nice that the game was designed for novices too. Like, you could make your way through most of the game without doing a lot of crazy techniques. It is simplified in that way, but if you do get the crazy techniques, like, it becomes an even better game.
Oh yeah,
which I think is a really great game design philosophy. They've kind of spread the net wide, but I mean, I would have preferred a whole world of levels that were way easier just to kind of get you used to things, or I don't know. I feel like they really trusted the player, and with the modern age, I don't think people are comfortable with that as much anymore. It's kind of a funny scenario.
Yeah, two thoughts about that. One, I do think that like the fact that you kind of can get through these places just a lot slower if you haven't mastered the moves is like a sliding bar of difficulty.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when I was trying to do a combo, I was hitting buttons that I didn't even know what they did, because I was like, around the world. And I feel like it encourages you to get better in that way, even though you can beat it without those more advanced techniques. It feels surprisingly punishing to just walk slow. Like, if you, like, it doesn't actually affect the likelihood of you beating the level that much, but like, when you walk slow, it's like, gosh, I messed up.
it's like you're doing it wrong. Like they, the whole point of the game is momentum. They really want you to string together moves and roll through the stage and learn the stage just like a Sonic game.
Yeah, and the timing of the yo-yo mixed with the angle of the slope you might be getting toward, you know, it's, it all adds up. It's a lot to think about it at one time. My main question for you guys is, did you enjoy it?
Marcus, I'll let you go first.
Sure. I believe you guys when you say that it took you a second to get the hang of it, because I don't think I played it long enough to get the hang of it.
Sure.
So I appreciated it. I thought that the traversal was really cool. I liked that there were some of these unique moves I felt like I hadn't really seen as traversal methods recently in a 3D game. But I don't think I played it long enough for it to click with me.
Yeah, that's fair. For me, it was a journey of self-discovery where I learned, oh yeah, I think I prefer more exploration-based 3D platforms. But that being said, I did enjoy this for what it was. Like, I really, first of all, I think Christian Whitehead and the other team, the rest of the team, are very talented. And I was exceptionally grateful to receive a review code to cover this game. Arcadey games are less my speed. I kind of like immersion and, you know, exploring a world. But that's just a personal preference. Playing this game still felt great. By the end, it's crazy. Like, the final levels, like, I was hitting every, like, collectible and, like, getting through it with less deaths than I was early on in the game. So it was a very gratifying feeling to be like, whoa, I've gotten better. I would say, yes, I absolutely did enjoy the game, even if it's not my preferred type of platformer.
Yeah, if anything, I would say I feel honored to be able to play this game. Like, it's really something quite special and unique, and that is something I really enjoy about games, is new, unique, and different. And even though there are so many qualities I can feel from Sonic in terms of vibe, gameplay style, aesthetics, they found a way to make it its own thing that stands apart from all this. So like, all the time I'm like, wow, this really reminds me of like Ristar from the Genesis or Super Magnetic Neo from the Dreamcast. Like all these obscure, more obscure things, but it's also its own obscure thing now. And I have to really commend them for that. And in the world where it feels like we've done everything, it's hard to make new original ideas, like they really did something quite nice, and I really appreciate it. I got to enjoy that.
It harkens back to when like genres weren't as well established, right? Like what if 3D platformers were still the genre and everyone was trying to put a new spin on it? And I think they succeeded.
Totally. You know, I think about like the new Mario Wonder game, a lot of talk was given to like, oh, they took away the time counter and that makes it better because it's a modern age thing. And with this game, I was thinking, you know, there's still like a health bar, there's still like a point system, and this game is really made better because of those elements where, yeah, you might actually lose enough health points to die, and that's actually a good thing for this game, and more games could benefit from that type of system if it's implemented well, as opposed to abandoning it for the modern age.
Mm-hmm. Well said. Well, since we're talking about the things we like about this game, how about we go ahead and move on to Star Pieces? This is the part of the show where we talk about a cool little detail or something we generally liked about the game. Marcus, do you want to go first?
You know, I think I'm going to abstain from the from Star Piece and Quick Jab and Trivia. Yeah, I know. I think it would be unfair to the game for me to play two levels and then say, here's what I hate about this game.
Fair enough.
It just feels a little much. So I will listen gratefully to your guys' opinions.
This is like the presidential debates when they're like, say one good thing about the opposing person.
You know, I can't do that.
I can't.
It's just impossible. Yeah. Well, I'll say one that, Marcus, you have encountered in the game for sure. I like that the menus all fade to blue, which is something that, you know, Sega Genesis and maybe Sega Master System as well, those games also faded to blue for technical reasons. Like, I don't remember the exact reason. It had to do with processing power or something, but those games fade to blue instead of fading to black. On a modern console, there is zero reason for a game to fade to blue when you select something. Yeah. They just included it for because, and I like that. I think it gives it a nice retro feel.
Unless you're the Sonic Origins collection in which case you're supposed to fade to blue, but they didn't do it in the modern age. And so,
oh, they didn't do that?
No, that's what I think I had mentioned it before last time I was on here, but so I was just so overwhelmed with that joy. Like, yeah, they're fading to blue. This is great. This is such a small thing, a small detail. I love it.
It was made by fans. You can tell because they care about the little things that no one else cares about, but
for
hardcore
sure.
fans.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What about you, Ray?
Well, obviously, as a designer, a lover of art and music, I mean, the music of this game is incredible. It's really dazzling. It's incredible personality. The art style is fantastic. Really interesting use of colors, really cool stage designs and all of that stuff. I really have to point that out. But the one piece from that I have to talk about is the pattern, the designs of the flooring. I'm not sure how to describe this, but there's like little artistic embellishments on the ground, but they actually seem to allude to gameplay information. Like this, like here's kind of a spinny circle piece of art, and it kind of indicates this is where you should whirl your yo-yo around to get up into the air for this portion. Or there's kind of these connecting lines to help draw your eye naturally to like, I think I should move this way or curve this way or go up this ramp, or oh, this is where the bomb is gonna land, is on this kind of explosive looking piece of art. It's never obvious, and it's never
overt or overbearing.
Yeah, it's never obvious or overbearing. It's very subtle, and it kind of insinuates those things. It's very impressionistic, and I think it naturally draws people to move certain ways and do certain things without totally realizing it.
Yeah.
But they've managed to sneak it in a way that is very well designed and very unique in that way. I've never really seen a game do that before, aside from like, hey, you know, these ledges have a yellow strip of paint. I must have to climb those. You know, like the really obvious stuff. But this one's really subtle, and it's really glorious.
That's really cool. I didn't think about that. Because I'm right now I'm imagining one of the levels where there's these platforms you have to glide down, or you have to, sorry, roll down. You can ride them on your yo-yo, but if you touch them, you take damage. And I didn't think about it, but yeah, there's like lines on those platforms. They must have done a great job, because I never noticed that I always knew where to go in this game, right? Like, it's very intuitively
yeah.
guiding you to the goal. There's never a question of, wait, where am I supposed to go? Which direction? That's cool.
Totally. In a really artistic way, which is not easy to do.
Yeah, I would add to that. I played enough to notice that the camera angle is not really adjustable, and that's one of the first things I noticed. I was like, oh, okay, so this is not a Mario game. This is closer to a Sonic game. We're locked in. Occasionally, there were multiple paths to go, but I intuitively knew which one to go to because the camera was sort of pointing me to look at that direction.
It's more Mario 3D World compared to Mario Odyssey.
Sure.
Right? And that's good. There's advantages to that, right? Like, they've scripted the camera, so it's always perfect.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to worry about, the wall's in the way, I can't see where I'm going. Cool. Well, with all that in mind, let's go into quick jabs.
And jab, jab.
This is where we talk about something maybe we didn't like so much, and I expect a full-blown 10-minute rant, Ray, so please go ahead, start us off.
No. Yeah, the fellow Black Team Award. Well, for as much as I loved the art design, I have to unfortunately say I think the character designs are not good.
Really?
And I'm not sure how to go into this, because I'm sure it's a personal take. I think Penny looks okay. I saw a comment somewhere that said she is somehow both over-designed and under-designed at the same time. But like the boss characters, for sure, they're not inspiring to me. I don't like how they look. I don't want to draw them. They don't communicate very well to me what they are or what they do. It took me a while to figure out, like, oh, Mr. Q is like an eight, he's like an eight ball, but he's also, like, you're playing pool with him. Like, it just was not obvious right away. And something about the characters just, they don't jive with me. And I think to make it worse, the way they're animated in-game doesn't feel classic. It feels amateurish. It feels kind of like they weren't sure how to mutate their faces correctly to get the expressions that they want. So it just felt kind of lame. And then like the chapter art in between that shows the characters and stuff is kind of stiff and stilted, and just doesn't exude the same quality that I think the gameplay itself does. And I was kind of disappointed on that fact. And it's also weird too, because I love so much about the art style that it was such a glaring inconsistency. But at the same time, gotta say, I appreciate that they tried something different. And sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. In this case, with me, you lost, but it's just my personal taste.
That's totally fair. In fact, one of the games Marcus and I reviewed on the show, Wavetail, Marcus and I like had a disagreement on the way characters' faces were animated. Like, it's kind of in a jittery, like, stop motion way, which I'm like, oh, that's really charming. I quite like that. And Marcus is like, I do not like that. That is really distracting and weird. So I think it totally is a personal taste thing. I kind of, as I was experiencing the cutscenes in this game, I was like, okay, there must have been like a lot of N64 games I haven't played that were similar to this, or, you know, or Dreamcast games or something. I wasn't really sure. I'm like, I don't get it, but okay, you know, let's move on. But yeah, no, I think that's fair.
Especially looking at a lot of the concept art, when you unlock the concept art and you see some of these character designs, they look way better in that hand-drawn 2D art style than how they end up in the game as 3D models. I feel like something was really lost in translation. It's just a shame.
I get you. Well, for me, my quick jab would be that, well, something that I like in the levels, the levels are really good, right? There's a lot of new mechanics they throw at you every world, which I think is cool. There's always like a new type of platform to interact with or a new power-up. And I think the best 3D platformers throw ideas at you frequently. So that's really cool. And in each level, there's always these three little side quests. You can always help someone. They might be like, hey, my friend's birthday is in 20 seconds. Go get three of these objects to deliver to them, right? Or they'll be like, deliver this without getting hurt. And I like that. I like new objectives. It changes how you play. It makes you more aware of how you're tackling it. But the thing is, some of those objectives are timed, where you have a very limited amount of time. And it'll start the clock as it's showing me what to do. And sometimes it's like a lengthy description where I have to read and read and wait, what am I supposed to do? Do this. Yeah. Okay, no, I'm supposed to break all the blocks with that power. Okay, and then my time is already like 30% over. I'm like, I'd appreciate it if you could tell me the objective and then have like just a ring for me to enter through to start it or something, just because I felt really stressed in those moments where I'm like, oh, well, I failed and there's no retry unless I want to die and go back to the last checkpoint. So that's my quick jab.
Yeah. And to make it worse, they put it at the top of the screen. So it kind of covers up where I'm trying to look into where I'm going. Yeah. And so it's actually harder to see where I need to go because you're telling me what to do and I can't see it anymore. And also I'm running out of time. Yeah, I totally understand.
Right. Well, Marcus, any color commentary you have on our quick jabs before we move on?
Yeah, what's your quick jab about Jared?
Oh yeah, easy. Well, my quick jab for Jared is that his quick jab had two positive things before a negative thing. He did a classic fluff fluff slam, and that kind of behavior I would really frown upon. Yeah, that's really really not the kind of character I'm looking for in my game commentators.
I was expecting a joke, but man, you're so right. I need to amend my ways next time I do a quick jab.
Next time you quick jab, do the quick jab. Do it quick, you know?
Do it right.
None of this, I like this, I like this, I didn't like this.
You're so right. All right. Well, with that, we have our final segment, Who's the Fake Fan? This is the quiz portion of our podcast where we try and stump each other with nerdy trivia questions. Ray, you said you liked the art style for this game.
Mm.
I want to test your art school chops here.
Oh, no.
What art movement was this game's art style inspired by? I can give you four options, unless you already know the answer.
Yes, so multiple choice is multiple choices needed.
Okay, all right, here they are.
Wait. Can't it have used all of these? Or is there one specifically the creator said?
There's one that the
by?
Devs refer to.
Okay.
There's one that devs refer to, so I think it's worth... I think there is a clear answer to this question, even if you could argue all art movements inspire the game. But for this specific art style, here are four modern art movements. Cubism, Fauvism, Art Deco, or Bauhaus.
This is bad for me because the dot pattern style is very specific and I can't think of that one. So I'm going to go with cubism because there is a lot of cube art in this game. That's kind of weirdly 3D. If this is wrong, but that's my answer.
Yeah, I'm afraid that's incorrect.
Can I try to guess? Can I try to swoop in and steal the point?
Yeah, go for it, Marcus.
Give me the four options.
Cubism, Fauvism, Art Deco, or Bauhaus?
I think it's cubism. Bauhaus. I'm not guessing Cubism again.
It is Bauhaus. That is correct. Did you Google it, Marcus? Did you Google that?
I did not. Have some... Hey.
No.
Have some respect for me.
No, what's interesting... I mean, if you should Google Bauhaus, actually. You should Google, like, do a Google image search and kind of look, and I think you'll see some of the parallels here, which I didn't love the art style at first, but it definitely grew on me as the game went along. And like Ray was mentioning earlier...
It's a lot to take in.
You really appreciate the clarity of things. If this was hyper realistic, it'd be a lot, I don't know, more cluttered and noisy as you're blowing through the level. So I think it was a good choice overall. Did you bring a question for us, Ray?
Absolutely. The developer's name, Evening Star, just so happens to be the same name as a song from what Sonic-related Sega game? Is it A, Knuckles Chaotix, B, Ristar, or C, Nights into Dreams?
I'm going to guess Nights into Dreams, just so Jared can't also pick that.
That's what I was going to pick, though. Come on.
Then we'd both be wrong, Jared. I'm giving you a shot.
Doesn't the Nights into Dreams, like, box art have the character kind of, like, over a star in the middle of the box art? I think it's Nights into Dreams.
He's on a top of a clock tower silhouetted against a big moon crest.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
Moons are not stars, Jared. Are you sure?
Well, oh, wait, hang on. No, wait, you said Ristar. Ristar has star in the title. It's clearly
that.
I'll go with that. What's the answer?
The correct answer is Knuckles Chaotix.
Of course we're both wrong.
There you go. That was the weird Knuckles spinoff game for the Sega 32X. You know, when they made Sonic Mania, they were always thinking, like, what if a Sonic game made it into that type of era of gaming, and what would that look like with frame rates and that kind of thing? So I don't know for sure, but it is very unusual that that their whole dev is named Evening Star when that is a song from a Sonic game.
Oh, it's a song from Knuckles Chaotix.
Yes.
Okay, because I remember you mentioning you haven't played that game, but you've clearly listened to the soundtrack, right?
Since you guys schooled me on the quiz, I've done much more Sonic listening.
Whatever.
We humbled you. He's like, oh, man, what if they challenge me again? I gotta read up on my game.
Man, I've shared that podcast episode with my wife, and her expression listening to it was somewhere between shock and being horrified that someone could know as much as you do about video game soundtracks.
It's just not possible.
One of my friends was like, I don't think I know that much about anything in the world.
It feels good to be subspecified, and I would not characterize your time with us as schooled, unless you're saying you schooled us.
In the early morning hours, I'm like, all right, here we go, Sonic Chronicles, Dark Brotherhood, here
Hit
we go,
books.
I gotta brush up.
Books, yeah.
That's great. That was one of my favorite episodes to go back and re-listen to once or twice. It's just fun to I think partially just because there's so much great Sonic music in there, but... It's really fun totally. To see you flex your knowledge on Marcus and I, who are just we just mostly pretend to like
born
things.
For that moment.
Yeah,
my whole life led up to that.
Well, it was such a pleasure once again to have you on the show. Penny's Big Breakaway is available on most platforms, and if you want to win a free copy, we are giving away a Switch code for the game courtesy of the developers. So, if you're interested, click on the link in the description and find out how you can enter to win. So, Ray, thank you again for joining us.
A pleasure as always, you guys. Just a reminder, Penny's Big Breakaway is only $30. So if you want to harken back to the 90s era of fun, colorful, unique 3D platformers, I'd say jump in.
Yeah. And it's a lengthy experience. Like, it has like 11 worlds, I think. Like, I was pretty impressed. I was kind of expecting a short game.
There's at least 35 full levels and then some extra, you know, boss stuff and side
and bonus
stuff
levels
as
well. As well. Yeah. Well, until next time, I'm Jared.
I'm Marcus.
I'm Ray.
And we'll level with you then. Thank you.
You know, fun fact, I tried to get Tim onto the show today. I just want to let you know.
Really?
He's a busy guy. He asked me, how's Petty's Big Breakaway? And I was like, I've only played literally 5 seconds. And he's like, well, on the internet, that's enough to form an opinion you're willing to die for.